following is the First Marine Aircraft Wing Tape Historical Interview. Interviewer is Major George H. Dunn, 065646, United States Marine Corps. He is Assistant Operations Officer attached to HAM 16, MAG 16, Marble Mountain Air Facility, Republic of Vietnam. Interviewer is Lance Corporal Robert J. Edwards, 2340257, United States Marine Corps. This interview takes place at Marble Mountain Air Facility, Republic of Vietnam on 22 October 1968. Subject of this interview is air-to-ground communications and medevacs. Events described in this interview occurred during the period November 1967 through October 1968. This interview is unclassified.
Prior to assuming duties as Assistant Operations Officer, MAG 16, had spent the tour in VMO-2 and HML-167 in various capacities, all of which involved flying missions mainly in the armed UH-1E. Most apparent is a very distinct lack of compatible communications systems in use by Marine ground forces and by the presently installed machines in Marine Air. The war seems to be run on communications over vast distances. We don't seem to have the capacity to adequately handle the communications problems that we have encountered. Many missions are of a type where you launch, fly to an area and are to establish communications, receive your brief, your enemy situation, your friendly situation, and what is required of the unit requesting the air. And this is frequently difficult. Also, in support of special operations with the United States Army, it's been found that our radios are also incompatible with many of the sets that they use on the ground. In the Huey, it's found that the PRC-25, I believe that's the designation of it, will frequently assist the pilot, although it's a cumbersome arrangement. This ground item with the antenna stuck out the door, the handset held by the pilot, will get him in communications with other type aircraft and also with ground stations. The same might be said of some of our UHF equipment presently installed in the aircraft and in use by the ground forces. Rotary wing to fixed wing communications present many problems, and the biggest of which is the necessity to repeat several times to get the message across through the garble and the background noise and the interference. The Fox mic, the static, the background, the off frequency by just a fraction, all tend to waste valuable hours in the air when in support of the ground troops. A problem, I'm sure, with our technology we can lick. We don't seem to have had too much success with it so far. On the subject of the medevac, which is a meat and potatoes for the gunships, we seem not to be standard at all in our approach to this. The air wings have provided training back in the United States in a package which is very similar to the way in which we run it over here. The medevac bird is the flight leader. The Huey gun is his escort. However, due to the communications system, again, the Huey will frequently, because his radios are a little bit better, will actually be in physical lead of the flight. The conduct of the flight from takeoff en route and to the pickup zone is dependent generally upon the radios installed in the Huey for clearance through the areas, save a plane information, and finally contact with the unit that has the medevac to be picked up. The system at this point seems to be not too standard, and several techniques are employed. I would suggest that the ground forces, especially the radio operators who are going to be talking directly to the aircraft involved, be instructed at comm school on a very standard, simple procedure necessary for the medevac pilot to accomplish is pick up and necessary for the gunship to safely escort this medevac bird to the zone for the pickup. A zone description, the size of the zone, a rice paddy, a cornfield, a confined area within the trees that's been hacked out or blown out, what these obstacles are, if any, wires, trees, rocks, where the friendlies are, how far out the friendlies are, where they extend, what is the most likely avenue for the approach of the aircraft, and special consideration given to the enemy situation. Where is the enemy located, and where can we reasonably expect to take the most fire? In conjunction with the disposition of the friendly forces around the landing zone, where are we cleared to return fire? Where are the closest adjacent units? The closest adjacent units probably have resulted in the in many instances of friendlies being shot because the people being supported by air have no idea where their adjacent forces are, especially in a patrol situation. And it's a very serious problem for the armed escort pilot as to whether or not he should go ahead and shoot in support of this mission. A very gray area that I think we could do some further study on. The standard brief with the zone description, the friendly situation, the enemy situation, the best approach for the pilots in the medevac bird, and whether or not the escort is cleared to shoot. In many cases, the escort, by his mere presence there, will have a suppressive effect on the enemy. Of course, with one gunship following one medevac, the coverage is extremely limited. Extremely limited. With the advent of the OV-10 into combat operations in RVN, a further refinement of this medevac package is possible. In that, the OV-10 hopefully will be on station over each regiment. The OV-10 carrying a qualified pilot in an airframe with some very limited ordnance, and an AO in the back seat. Prior to departure from the home base of the aircraft, contact can be established with the OV-10. The ground situation summed up a decision made by the OV-10 and his AO as to whether or not fixed wing support is going to be required for this pickup. And by the time the medevac package arrives, the ground situation, air, if needed, can be ordered. And you have a very neat package and a very quick brief when you arrive on the scene, and the medevac is, in many instances, speeded up. A very fine package, which should possibly be considered in on the standard brief for medevac missions. The description of the landing zone, especially whether it is secure or not secure, is another problem area. If the people can stand up in the landing zone, does not necessarily mean that the landing zone is secure. Consideration must be given to the surrounding terrain, tree lines, streams, higher ground not occupied by friendlies where fire has been received before, and an honest appraisal passed on to the armed escort, so he can determine whether he can handle it himself or whether he does require additional gunships or fixed-wing support. We have extremely limited assets over here, and without this information, we have in the past lost aircraft, and if we continue without a very firm understanding on the part of the ground unit commander about this enemy fire, which is received as we start on in, because we do cover a very large area of ground, regardless of a spiraling approach and not a rotative approach, you still are exposed for a great deal of time to enemy fire away from the zone. It should be a consideration when the zone brief is discussed. The subject of night medevac, this is probably one of the most hazardous missions required to be flown by helicopter pilots of any service here in RVN. There is a great deal of variance in the way that it is flown, considering your Air Force packages with the professional aerial space rescue people that they have over here in Vietnam, who are very good. The Army dust-off aircraft flying single plane at any weather at any time of the day or night going anywhere to attempt a pickup, and the Marine concept of using the H-34 as the primary package and with a chase of the H-34. Another area in this night medevac is the zone again. Several proposals have gone out from this organization on strobe lights, standard marking of the zones, along with the standard briefing, which will ensure the pilot starting on down with his lights off, going through a hostile environment, often receiving sporadic or light sniper fire to accomplish the pickup. All of these things could be, and rightly should be, passed prior to the arrival of the ground forces here in RVN, and stressed continually here in RVN to preclude the needless loss of the medevac chopper, the crew, and possibly the patients that they're attempting to pick up. The mission is a very necessary one. It's a very satisfying one to the crews when they do accomplish a difficult pickup of a seriously wounded or ill Marine. And I do think that a great deal more standardization could be incorporated into all our attempts over here.